coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It is Tuesday, January 16th, 2024. Thanks for joining me for a very important broadcast today, very informative broadcast. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to have Stan Dale from standale.com coming on. And always a crowd pleaser, always a lot of information there. But I'm going to take this first segment of the program to address what happened last night and kind of look down range as well. What's really going on behind the scenes? I had some communications with some people you're going to see on screen today. Yesterday, after the Iowa caucus closed, and Donald Trump resoundingly won. As a matter of fact, more of a margin than 1988, the Iowa caucus in '88. And I think that was Bob Dole at the time. And you can see where the winners of Iowa are not necessarily the winners all around. But, hey, it's an important win. And if this is any indication of what's taking place, of the sentiment of the people. And I believe this is an accurate representation of the sentiment of the people. Obviously, you're going to see a second Donald Trump presidency, a third win for Donald Trump, as the 2020 election obviously was stolen, and we have an illegitimate potato head resident senior in turn the White House into a senior living center. We're going to be getting into that, and you know, we've been talking, and this is something I want to really mention. We've been talking about keeping President Trump healthy. I think the person to really watch that they want, the deep state wants out of the way, is Biden. Think about that downrange. Before we get into the program, I want to just talk about energy bills. Folks, energy bills are rising at a very historic rate. Never seen anything like this before. And there's no end in sight. If you talk to enough people, you're going to soon realize that nearly everyone is shocked by the power, by their electricity bills. My goodness. Some studies reveal that their energy costs have skyrocketed by as high as 60% in as little as 2 years. And that's directly related to what we're talking about. I mean, this is why tens of thousands of people are installing this device. And I love this because this works. This helps slash your energy bills. This device right here, you can see you plug it into a wall outlet. This sophisticated gadget stabilizes electric currents, reduces dirty electricity, helps protect your appliances, electronics. I'm telling you, it's a great, great little thing. You simply plug it into your home's wall outlet to help dramatically lower energy consumption and ultimately help reduce your power bills month after month. Countless five-star reviews back up the notion that this device is one of the most efficient ways to save money while beating the power companies. But there's a lot more. If you place your order now, you'll also receive 65% off, fast shipping within the U.S., hassle-free returns, and last but not least, a 60-day satisfaction guarantee. Simply go to don'twastepower.com. Don'twastepower.com to take advantage of this limited time deal before they sell out. That's don'twastepower.com. Don'twastepower.com. Tell them Doug Hagman sent you. Just write that somewhere. Doug Hagman sent you. Yeah, okay. All right. I want to get right into this because this is important. First of all, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I don't know, half a dozen videos plus just video clips, cuts of videos. And I want to set this up because, again, people are looking for the deep state to take out Donald Trump, as they have tried to. They have been unsuccessful to date. Now, more on that in a moment. But there's an art dealer, and I want to talk about this here shortly. There's an art dealer who's come out and said, hey, you know that stuff with Hunter Biden's paintings? Well, let me tell you a few things. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You talk about money laundering, at least in my experienced opinion as an investigator. The money laundering aspect of this cannot be denied, I don't think. That's my personal investigative opinion based on my research and what is coming from John Solomon and people like that. And don't forget, I'm in touch with a lot of people that I don't bring up on the show. And we talk about things like that. Okay, so, I'm an investigator by profession. Obviously, anyone who's listened to me or heard, watched me talk, realize I'm not a talk show host. I'm an investigator by profession, and this is what I do. So I try to seek the truth before anything else. All right, the first video to lay the groundwork of what's going on, Cash Patel appeared yesterday, and this was with Steve Bannon. Let's remind the audience of the hard truths of the Biden administration. Listen to what Cash has got to say, and this is going to kind of lay the groundwork for what I'm going to be talking about next. Go ahead and play cut one.
Look, you're absolutely right. Mostly it's the kitchen table economic issues. But when you have the globe on the verge of catastrophe in World War III, that is the only thing we should be talking about. And I think President Trump has done brilliantly laying out his agenda for global diplomacy and national security. Look, let's remind the audience of the hard truths of the Biden administration. He cut Iran a $6 billion check. Joe Biden walked into office and delisted the Houthis as a terrorist organization. That organization in Iran, flush with Joe Biden's money, are the ones that have struck 135 U.S. military installations in the last 90 days alone, and we are on the precipice of World War III. And let's not forget the most treacherous conduct from Austin and Biden to date. Their abject failure of the National Command Authority when each other go into hiding, lie to the world, and what's the result? Two U.S. Navy special operators are killed during an action event in the Red Sea that should never have been authorized and would never have occurred under President.
And by the way, that was my mistake. That was Grant Stinchfield on with Cash Patel along with Grant Stinchfield. About those two Navy SEAL casualties, that story, by the way, is made up. What they were doing there, what happened, that is, that should be looked upon as, it doesn't make any sense. And if it doesn't make sense on its face, then of course, I don't believe it's true. The circumstances around which they were killed or lost their lives. All right, let's get right into why Biden must go. The left, the globalists must get rid of Biden. John Solomon has a piece out about an art dealer, and this is page one or page unmarked. Art dealer told Congress that Joe Biden called and met him while he sold Hunter Biden's paintings. Now, why is this even important? Because when you add up all of the liabilities, political liabilities of Joe Biden, and by political, I'm also referencing the population, the people of the United States, their reaction to Biden, and they're obvious. Look, we are in the thick of inflation. And of course, Biden comes out and says, the economy's never been better, and we know better because we're spending money at the grocery store. Meanwhile, Potato Head Biden doesn't even know where he's at. When you've got us being on the cusp of World War III, you cannot have, they cannot have a liability as a president. I believe Biden was put in there to be the puppet of Obama's third term, obviously, as do others, and to do the bidding of the globalists. But now he's become a liability. And those people involved in intelligence operations, when an asset becomes a liability, you've got to get rid of that liability or else the entire operation falls. So that's where we're at. So now this is coming out, and I don't think it's by any accident that this is coming out. John Solomon, of course, is just a tremendous investigative reporter. Art dealer told Congress that Joe Biden called and met him while he sold Hunter Biden's paintings. Now, John Solomon appeared on, I think it was American Sunrise this morning or one of the programs. The art dealer who sold Hunter Biden's paintings told Congress that Joe Biden, as president, both called and met him at the White House as he was pitching Hunter's artwork, and that the first son also made an unusual request, which was this: to be informed about who bought his pieces, which undercuts everything that Biden and the diversity hire spokesperson, KGP, it undercuts everything, the entire narrative on the sales. The Biden White House repeatedly told the public that Hunter Biden's art sales were covered by an ethics agreement to ensure that they were arm's length, and that the first family, Hunter included, they were blinded as to the identity of the buyers. Well, guess what? George Burgess, the owner of the prestigious Burgess Art Galleries based in New York and also has a satellite studio in Berlin that sold Hunter Biden's paintings from 2000 to 2023. He told congressional impeachment investigators that the first son likely knew the identity of at least 70% of the buyers, and that the largest two were Democratic donors. Huh. No surprise there, obviously. And that Hunter Biden's first contract made an unusual request when the relationship started. The request was this. Well, the article states that I believe in the first contact, the first contract, that is, he was able to know who the buyers were. This is the art studio, the gallery owner, Burgess. Now, he testified to investigators for the House Oversight and Judiciary Committees in a transcribed interview last week that was reviewed by John Solomon of Just the News, who wrote this article, which is in the links to our program at HagmanPI.com. I don't know how it was phrased, he said, but I remember that there was the difference. Is it normal or unusual, or where's that? Is a normal kind of contract? Burgess was asked. That part was different. Normally, the gallery owner, the person selling the paintings, they don't let the artist know who the collectors are. But in this case, Burgess testified, no, that they absolutely did. And not only the artist, but the artist's dad. Well, why is that important? Because the artist's dad is the president, acting as the president of the United States. So, in addition to money laundering, they can't make this up. So for this to come out and for the testimony to come out, I believe this to be a fact, they are trying to dump Joe Biden. And you might say, well, does that mean Kamala Harris would come in? No, just hang on. I'm going to answer that too. Biden, he's got to go. We're going to go to video two, cut two, cut three, and then a larger cut four. Cut two and cut three are like 20 seconds a pop. You understand the liability of Biden. Okay, this guy, as Eric the Tech calls him, a Roomba. Just a Roomba, okay? The guy, you can see it. I mean, he walks around into walls, you know. He's like a Roomba, twists around. I mean, watch the videos. The guy has no cognitive ability to process information unless he is drugged up. But watch cut two and then cut three as we go into this. And then cut four is going to be some information that I had that I held on to, but Marjorie Taylor Greene confirmed this. But we'll go to cut two now.
Morgan Sherwin. This is Morgan Sherwin and Sam Cerruti. This is Morgan Sherwin and Sam Cerruti. There are our team members here. They help us They help us, service and sales.
Good to see you.
Okay, when you watch that video, you have to understand. I mean, look at that guy stopping the most powerful man in the U.S., right? Stopping him. He's controlling him. He's handling him. Biden, on the other hand, look at the piss holes that are this guy's eyes. If he was sitting across the table from me in an interview or in a confrontational interview, perhaps, I would have to check to see if there were any psychiatric records on this guy or his cognitive. The guy's not there. And if you need another example on this, this is Biden both being lost and also creeping on minors as well. This is cut 3 in Hagman PI in the program episode description guide. Just click on the link to this program or the title of this program, and that'll open up a box at Hagman PI. The video and audio will be on the top. The links will be in the box below that. Here is cut 3.
We will make sure that we respond to the Houthis as they continue this outrageous behavior, along with our allies.
Do you have confidence in Secretary Austin?
I do.
I'm sorry.
Was it a lapse in judgment for him not to tell you earlier?
Yes.
I don't even know what, folks, I don't even know how to describe that. 81 million votes, right? So if in fact there were 81 million votes, anyone who voted for this guy, in my view, is a moron. Okay, is just a flaming moron. If you still support this guy, you're even a bigger moron. This is what the Constitution. Well,
Joe, after lunch today, we will have shuffleboard. I'll come and get you. Are you excited?
Eric the Tech weighing in there. How would you...
That's where he needs to be.
I'm telling you, yeah. At the Mercy Rest Retirement Village, Del Boca Vista. Del Boca Vista. No, there's no room at Del Boca Vista. That's why he's staying at the
tapioca
ice cream, 2 scoops. They used to laugh at President Trump about 2 scoops of ice cream, and the left. This guy. When's the last time you heard the media talk about his ice cream proclivities? No, you haven't. Okay, this guy gets ice cream and soft foods, tapioca, whatever. He's like Eric the Tech said, a Roomba. But that clip, my gosh. What the hell was it? First of all, what the hell was he looking at? And then what was he whispering to that young girl who turned around in fright? Like, what the hell?
Notice everyone that's just a regular citizen is super awkward around him.
Yeah.
Because it's awkward. Like Trump walks into a room, people just gravitate towards him.
There it is. I mean, there's absolutely no comparison between President Trump and
Biden. You can say that about Obama.
Yes. Yes, you can.
Bush, going Clinton. They all have that personality where people...
They want
to go up to them.
Even the bad ones, yes, yes. But Biden, they're like, oh, boy, what do I do now? And we could play clip after clip, but you've seen them. You don't need to see them again. You know this guy is a liability now. So, okay, video cut 4. Marjorie Taylor Greene was in an interview. And this is really important because this tells you, I believe this tells you, and again, remember, and listen and watch this in the context of the fact that, look, I make phone calls at night, or I have contacts at night and during the day with different people that you listen to, that you know, you would know. And I got this information from a trusted source. And I thought, you know, okay. And I knew that Green was going to come out with this, but I think this might have been from last week. I'm not exactly sure, but I left it alone. But it's important, and I'm glad she came out with the pretty much the entirety of what I knew at the time. Listen to this. This is cut four. Watch this, cut four.
So Alex Jones in a recent interview said that Joe Biden was caught naked at the White House, wandering around 2 a.m., doesn't know where he is, doesn't know who he is. You work in Washington, D.C. You're on committees with access to classified information and a lot of knowledge. You're a very well-known member of Congress. Have you ever heard anything like this?
Well, I can't get into specifics, but I've heard very bad rumors as well. And I can't tell you who told me that and where that came from. But we've heard terrible things. And like I said, the evidence of that has been.
Can you give us some of them? Like what kind of terrible thing?
Well, I would say that what Alex Jones told his viewers is not far off. And that's a terrifying and unfortunate situation. But I'll go a step further. We saw Joe Biden on a trip in a foreign country. I believe it was last year or perhaps maybe it was 2021. And he fell down and definitely had an accident. And that was hard for them to cover up. But this is the reality of people in their 80s or late stage in life, especially when they suffer from conditions like late stage dementia. Or Alzheimer's. This is where people's faculties fail, and it's not uncommon. But unfortunately, Joe Biden is having it happen to him, literally while he is being president of the United States. And this is another reason why I think we'll see them take Joe Biden and replace him with someone like Michelle Obama.
So you're saying that Joe Biden fell and soiled himself on a trip abroad?
That's what I heard happened to him, and that's what many other people were told as well.
There's been a lot of reports of him letting out a long, loud fart in the presence of the King and Queen of England, and that comes directly from the royal family. So, you know, I guess maybe this is Joe Biden showing us renewable gas and, you know, how valuable green energy can be.
Yeah, you know, okay, so, you can cut that. That's pretty much end of it anyway, but the bottom line is this. Look, this is not to be gross or to be even more pejorative than necessary, okay? There are things that are worse than that. About the wandering around the White House, what I heard was he wasn't exactly naked. He had his underwear on, and the underwear was of a certain kind, and I'm not going to get into it. And the Secret Service had a scramble. There was a point where he was not lost, but in the, how can I put this, in the wrong place. And, had he been seen, because he did wander into a public area and they had a hard time getting him back, he became combative, as a lot of late stage Alzheimer's patients will do. He became very combative with the security. Now think about that. I don't know how many people have had the unfortunate circumstances of caring for a relative, a loved one that has late-stage Alzheimer's, late-stage dementia. They become combative. And it's not fun. It's not funny. There's nothing funny about this. There's nothing fun about this. So, okay, I'm going to stop right there in the interest of time. And we're going to go to cut five. One of the people that I think highly of as an investigative journalist, as a filmmaker, as a person who I just think highly of him, and he's got the finger on the pulse of what's going on in circles in Hollywood, in circles in D.C., and his connections are, I'm telling you, he's got some great connections. What's the word out there? If Biden goes, who would replace him? We had in July of last year Joel Gilbert on, and this is from episode 4479. Again, the link to the entire episode will be in the program description box. He was incorrect on one thing. He was saying that before November, as I thought too, that Biden would take himself out of the race. That did not happen. But we're going to play 2 minutes or 2.5 minutes of this interview starting at the 425 minute mark. And again, this will be at PagmanPI.com. Listen to what he's got to say. So he was incorrect on the timing, which is fine. But the backstory, and this is, I got the book out yesterday. I started reading it again. If you haven't gotten the book, Michelle 2024, I'm telling you what, you really need to get the book. Go ahead and play cut five. Researching Michelle Obama. So who is she and why do you believe she's running for president in 2024, especially with the way things are right now politically? I mean, and of course, she said she didn't want to. She's not a politician. She doesn't like politics, but then you blow that away. But go ahead.
Right. Well, you got like 3 or 4 questions there, but we'll walk through them. Yeah. First of all, I've been following the Obamas for years. I'm pretty well known for my 2012 film on Barack Obama called Dreams from My Real Father, where I exposed what I think is Barack Obama's real biological father was not the Kenyan student, but rather Frank Marshall Davis, the Chicago communist who raised him in Hawaii, who Obama admits raised him and he emulated and tried to follow his teachings. Frank Marshall Davis happens to look just like Obama, and Obama looks nothing like the Kenyan student. So I'm pretty well known for that. And I followed the Obamas for years. And I noticed that beginning in 2016, Michelle Obama was following the exact same formula that Barack had to become president. Barack Obama was the keynote speaker for John Kerry at the Democrat convention in 2004. The keynote speaker slot is the person who introduces the candidate and that they think will be the nominee at the next convention. Sure enough, Michelle was the keynote speaker that introduced Joe Biden in 2020 at the Democrat virtual convention. Barack wrote 2 autobiographies, Dreams from My Father and The Audacity of Hope, before he ran for president. Sure enough, Michelle wrote 2 autobiographies, Becoming, which is her life story, which is really a political document. When you read it, it's not a real life story. And it's also a movie on Netflix. And then she wrote The Light We Carry late last year, which is now also on Netflix as an interview special with Oprah. And lastly, Barack had a voter registration organization called Project Vote in Chicago that he used to set off his candidacy. Michelle Obama started a voter registration organization called When We All Vote. So she's following the same formula. If you look at her Twitter, she's all political all the time. Just last week, she released an official statement on the Supreme Court ruling about affirmative action. And she's positioned herself by working on the constituent groups of women and minorities for years. So I think she's perfectly positioned herself. She's the most popular woman in America, if not the whole world. She's had 15 years of all positive publicity, hundreds of magazine covers, hundreds of interviews, and she's literally the most beloved Democrat. So I think she set herself up perfectly. I do believe that Joe Biden released that 3-minute video back in April that he's running just as a reaction to the RFK announcement.
All right. That was Joel Gilbert back in July. He also appeared on Bannon's War Room and did a 7, 8, 9 minute appearance that I am going to put in the, in fact, I'll put it on HagmanPI.com. There it is right there. And now he updated his assessments. And again, in my discussion with Mr. Gilbert, I can see where you're going to have Biden slipping out after the primaries. Okay, the timing really doesn't matter. But the one thing that he pushed on this interview and in conversation is a very important thing. And that is this. Michelle Obama has set up this unbelievable and unbelievably effective monetary or financial back infrastructure for a campaign. don't forget, the Democratic convention will be held where this year? In Chicago. Now, the reason I did all of this, here's the bottom line on all of this. This will be, I believe, something to watch. Yes, watch for the safety of President Trump, but even more for the safety of Biden, who has become a liability to the left and to the globalists. Kamala Harris, Knee Pads Harris, of course, is a liability day one. She's dumber than a box of rocks, and she can barely function as a political anything. So they've got to clear the slate and bring in somebody with the popular gravitas, as Eric the Tech was talking about earlier, and that could very well be Michelle Obama. That would fill several slots on the ticket. You know, the black vote or the black woman. Yes, the trans. Now, Joel says this, that, you know, she was not a transgender. Look, I don't know what happened after. I mean, in the last couple of years, several years, I don't know if she added parts, took off parts. I don't know. But I'd like to kind of, I'm not dismissing anything, I guess. Joel Gilbert is of the opinion, look, but really that's got nothing to do with anything. Okay, except for the lies. And he gets into the lies that really matter on that cut six, which will be, again, the link will be in the program description box. And the reason I did this part was because I did not want to take anything away from Stan Dale. Okay, Stan Dale, who's with me right now before I get to Stan. Let me ask you a question here. What did I say I was going to do? What's that? All right, thanks. Hang on one second. Just hold on a second here. Talk amongst yourselves. I got to grab my paper. Live stuff, really. You know, you can't really cut this out, right? Okay, you know, I just want to hang on here. Yeah. What did you guys think of the first half hour or the first segment? Yeah? Yeah? Did you like it? Do more of this? Okay. All right. Thanks. Thank you. Look, if you were like thousands of Americans this holiday season and ate too much, I'll get my notes in order. And I know that you and I both, we could stuff away the food, right? If your New Year's resolutions revolve around weight control, you can rest easy knowing that most Americans with you on this journey. Nearly half of all Americans say that their resolution is related to weight control, fitness, or physical health. And that's important. Okay, please. Making it one of the most, if not the most popular New Year's resolutions by far. Now, there's this magical pill, and I don't use that term. I don't know what's in it. I don't know how it works, but I'll tell you, it works. It's for weight management. It's a solution that I recommend. I personally use it. I mean, look at me. You want to see me? I'll take my shirt off. Dare me? I'll take my shirt off right now. You can see my 4-pack or 3-pack or 6-pack. No, I don't have a 6-pack. But it works. It helps control appetite, manage weight, reduce fat, and control cravings and increase energy. That it does. It essentially uses a unique nutrient that's linked to supporting reduced body weight, reduced fat mass, and reduced weight circumference while increasing lean body mass. Go to trimwithdoug.com. That's trimwithdoug.com. There's no preservatives in this at all. No artificial flavors, colors, preservatives to hold you back on your health journey. It's a good thing to take. I take supplements and I take this. Try it today for a whopping 51% off this New Year's. Plus, receive free VIP live health and fitness coaching for life. 2 free new ebooks titled "Top," and these ebooks are good. Okay, top 10 foods that burn belly fat. I was surprised. Okay, color me surprised on this. And the top 8 exercises to reduce belly fat and a 60-day satisfaction guarantee and free shipping. Order before this offer ends by going to trimwithdoug.com. Once again, that's trimwithdoug.com. Trimwithdoug.com. Burn it in your memory. And if you can't do that, just click on the link right below this video. Thank you so much. Stan Dale from standale.com is with me. Let's get right with Stan. And you know what? I'm going to try not to say a word, except I love Stan. I love his website, standale.com. I love his work, his intellectual products. Cosmic Conspiracy is a book that I highly recommend. Dare to Prepare, Holly's book, number one in preparation. There's not a wasted word there, and it is a I'm telling you, if you don't have one, get one. Dare to Prepare. Also, Prophetic Perils, many other things. If you go to standale.com. And also, do me a favor. Look, we're all suffering. If you're in the alt media or in the new media, the real media, we're all suffering. Our income is down, I'm going to say, close to 55%. I know Stan Dale is struggling, but he'll never ask for help. But do this: support Stan Dale. Go to his Patreon page and support Stan. Now, we've been kicked off Patreon. Stan has not, because Stan, of course, he's got some really good stuff. And when it comes to earth changes and what have you, I'm going to shut up now and not take any more of his time. God bless you, Stan. Thank you. Oh, by the way, I broke my promise. EMP shield. Get an EMP shield because, well, you know, they're talking about this cyber attack, and this could save your home equipment, your office equipment, your car, your boat, your generator. If you don't have one, you're really, really, you need one. You need 3. You need 4. There are bulk discounts. Go to EMPShield.com. Use promo code Hagman for $50 off, and there's additional discounts for more than one for bulk orders. All right, I'm going to be quiet now. Stan Dale, thank you so much for your patience.
You bet. You know, along those lines, Doug, I found out the other day that a lot of people didn't realize that I was one of the 2 founders and inventors of the EMP Shield. That's, you know, still my company with Tim and with Pete. So, we go and support us over there. And you've got the link to click on there on Doug's site.
Absolutely.
Okay. Jesus, there are a lot of things to talk about. As you can see, I've got the background here is the Trump Oval Office. I think it's fitting after the caucuses last night in Iowa. But I hope we make it to see him there. That nothing prevents that. But with the way the country's divided, we might see a civil war before then.
Yes.
You agree, do you?
I do. And there's, I printed out a page just real quick. I said I wasn't going to talk because, you know, it takes away from your time. But I printed out a page, the difference between a civil war and a revolution. I don't know if okay. Real quick, I do believe. Now, civil war is a violent set of military actions between two or more groups within a country wanting to take control of the country. So that's a civil war. And a revolution tends to be an upheaval to change social and political situations in the country. A revolution can begin in a more peaceful way, but it can turn into a fully kinetic civil war very easily. Do you agree with that? And what do you see, civil war, revolution, or both?
I see a civil war. I don't think that we're going to see the Constitution overthrown or anything like that. But the civil war is going to pit us against each other from different aspects. You know, a multifaceted civil war. Religious groups, you know, Christians, Jews, nothings. You know, there's all kinds of fighting going on religiously and then financially. Rich against poor. I think we've got a lot more poor than rich in this country, but there will be strife there. And while we're fighting amongst ourselves, about the economy, our income, and the border intrusions, we're being infiltrated by young men of military age Chinese, a lot of them, but a lot of them are from the Middle East. In fact, they're from about 190 countries out of the 196-97 we've got. And because we're having all this happen, this civil war is going to weaken us, and we won't be able to defend ourselves against an attack by China and Russia and one Middle Eastern nation, probably Iran, that will hit us from offshore with nukes, EMP pulse bombs, nuclear bombs, and then they will come on land. And if we can trust what the Hopi prophecy keeper told me in 1996, they will do this. They'll come in and invade us. At the time I was told this, we didn't see the immediate possibility of a civil war in the United States. And now, some 27 years later, we see what's happening, what was forecast by the prophecy keeper in the Shakopi tribe, the Hopi. So this is not going to be good. And I think this is going to possibly happen before whoever wins the presidential election in November can take office, and possibly before we even go to the polls. There's just going to be some things happening, I'm afraid, with the President Trump and the courtrooms that is going to trigger, a bigger part of our population to take arms and say that's enough, no farther. And,
I agree. That assessment is succinct and I think accurate. And I don't think that they can. First of all, they can't win with Biden, I don't think. So they're going to have to do something with him. And they don't want Trump anywhere near the Oval Office because they can't. They really can't afford this to be exposed any more than what they are. Not that it worked great the first time draining the swamp. The swamp is as deep as it ever was. But now he's coming in with a little bit of a. He would come in with a little bit a different. Take on things, I think. I don't know, but I'm with you right there. Your assessment. I do believe something's going to happen, and things are going to go sideways between now and November. I'm 100% with you. And you were the first. By the way, you were the first that on this platform that talked about that.
Really?
You were. And I went back when I was looking for the clip with Joel Gilbert. I went back. My goodness, it had to be 2-3 years ago. And no, it wasn't that long ago. But you were the first to talk about the Civil War aspect, and then the invasion during or after that, was softening up of the people here. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, just sharing what I learned from the Hopi. That was it. And of course, now I mean. If you can't see it, if a person can't see what's happening in the United States now, then they're just totally blind. I mean, dumb. I mean, I guess they got their head stuck so far down their cup of latte or whatever that they never watch the news. But we're in real strife, and I look at the news on Newsmax and on Fox, and I say, I look at these presenters, and hey, they're joking between each other, and they're saying, oh, look, blah, 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 wasn't that funny, and did you have your coffee this morning? Yeah, right. And they have to keep this kind of lighthearted atmosphere, but I wonder, off camera, if they're not quaking in their boots about how bad this situation is, because they live in a major metropolitan city, and they are subject to, riots in the street when they occur, or if they occur soon. So my hat's kind of off to these presenters, knowing that they know what's happening behind the scenes, but they have to present a happy face to keep their audience from, panicking. But sooner or later, it's going to come out so much so in the newspapers or somewhere that, there's going to be a great awareness in the population, of the United States, one that has not been there fully for some time because they've been distracted with movies, TV, and other dramas with Hunter Biden, the White House, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I do take my hat off to these presenters because I don't think I could sit there and say, oh, hey, they're rioting and they're fighting over in the Middle East. They're killing a bunch of Gaza. They're killing a bunch of Israelis. Iran's got the nuke and it's trying to, funny stuff. I couldn't do that. I just like to tell it like it is.
Where's the humanity here? You know, you look at a young baby, whether that baby, and without politics, forget politics for a minute. You know, you see a young baby, infant, child, whatever, being buried by rubble of a bomb or killed by whoever. That's a child. I mean, it's wrong on so many levels. Where's the humanity of the people who are choreographing all of this, who are pitting one side against the other? And where's the humanity, especially with those who know what's coming? You know, you exude the humanity that others should as well. I'll just stop there, but thank you for pointing that out.
You know, seeing that we are faced with increasing violence just in the country from, you know, terrorists, from hungry people, from, you know, people who just want to loot, I think it's time to bring up something I've got on my website. Eric, can you go over to slide 44 on my show images page, standale.com show images page? Go to slide 44 and click on the text.
And folks, you can do this as well. Go to standale.com in the upper right-hand corner. There are show images. Click on those, especially if you're listening to this, driving, whatever. But
I don't sell these things, Doug, but I've got them for Holly. If you think that you might need this to protect yourself at the grocery store or driving through town and you know, somebody trying to carjack you, I heard about this from several places on television and online. This is a self-defense weapon that is not lethal, but boy, does it take down the bad guys. You see in the picture there a kit that you can buy for $380 there. And on the left side of it there, of that picture, you'll see silver cartridges. Those are CO2 cartridges, which will shoot 25 bullets, you know, 25 times and force empty. And then over above it, you'll see the gun. And you know, to the right, you'll see a magazine to hold these balls that you see in these three colored cylinders at the bottom. Now, the green one, the gray one here, those are just target practice things. And one of them is a heavy one, so that when you shoot that at somebody, it gives them a real thump. You know, they feel it. But it doesn't kill them, doesn't penetrate the skin. Now, on that red one there, on the right, red and gray, I believe that's the one that holds the tear gas and mace gas and a die. And if you shoot your villain with that, first of all, he's disabled for 25 minutes. He's crying and choking and, you know, whatever. He's been dyed purple or purpley blue with the dye that's in there, which will last for a day and a half to identify him later. And, you know, you have time to get away. Now, those things hold, I think it's about 5 shots. And you know, if you're even in the grocery store, if you shoot the guy to put that gas cloud around him, because as soon as that pellet hits him, it's going to explode into these gases and he's disabled. Be sure that you don't get any closer than 6 feet when you've hit him, because you'll get the cloud too, and then you'll both be crying together. But other than that, it'll have a good range accuracy up to 60 feet. So in self-defense in a car, you wouldn't want to say if they're sticking their head in the window or right at the window, you want to, avoid shooting it because it'll be in your face as well. Move the car a bit forward or backward and then shoot him and then put the window up. Anyway, this is something that you should look at. For your own self-defense, you're not going to kill anybody, but you're certainly going to stop them from hurting you and give you time to escape. There's videos and stuff on there that you can see about that.
I appreciate that. I mean, folks, there's a solution for you. And Sandale brings to the table a solution. He doesn't have any stock in this. And there you go. And by the way, as someone who was in a car that we had, my partner accidentally released a mace bomb, if you will, not pepper spray, but mace. Holy cow. Inside a car on Interstate 90. We were going like 70 miles an hour. And, we had to pull off and we were disabled for probably a good hour. So that stuff is pretty. Yeah, that'll work. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Now, on slide 43, Eric, and people listening on my show image page, if you click on that, that will take you to the main homepage of the Byrna self-defense weapon we were just talking about. And they have a series of illustrations there that you can just click on the arrows, and it takes you all the way through it, showing how it looks, how to carry it, and various pieces of information about it, cutaways of how it works. It's a great little device, and they've got a thing that's a kind of a cloth of spring-loaded target that you can put in your house, and you can practice your aim with that, with the just the duds that are, you know, heavy dummies, no gas in them. And I've given it to Holly, you know, as a Christmas present, and she just likes the heck out of it because it's helping her to learn to her muscles to focus on a sight rather than a laser dot. You can get that with these, but she wanted to be able to just do it without laser dots. So she's learning to get her hand up like this with the weapon like that and support it and take aim and shoot. And she's getting to be pretty lethal with that, hitting the target that they've got. I think that they might show it in this thing. I'm not sure, but it is good to use, and it helps you.
In a fight, front sight. Just remember that. If you don't have, I don't rely on anything but just the regular sights, because stuff can go wrong. So in a fight, front sight.
And you know, I didn't realize that Holly didn't know how to use the sight. You know, I've given her laser dots on her weapons, and so she'd point the dot and shoot. Well, as you say, batteries could go flat. A lot of things you have where your dot doesn't work. And so once I showed her how to line up that little front peg with the V in the back so they're all lined up, she's, oh, I never knew that. And oh, gosh, I forgot. I didn't know that. So she's practicing with this gun that shoots these harmless pellet balls into the target. But it's helping her learn how to use her other weapons to sight them properly. So it's giving her muscle memory to bring it up, you know, and hold and aim it and fire it. So as I say, I don't get any commissions or anything for, you know, promoting this, but I just think it's an excellent device, excellent concept.
Okay. Thanks for sharing that. Folks, options, solutions. You know, we had a prep bag for $2,000 in variations thereof. This is really a self-defense weapon for under $400. You can't beat that with a stick. Thank you for options. Go ahead, sir.
You bet. You know, one of the main issues that people were talking about in the caucus was the immigration problem, the illegal immigration at the border, the uncontrolled massive migration from all these countries in South America and over in the Middle East and from China. And I looked at this, and I looked at slide 56 in my show images page. And there's a picture there showing these hordes of people coming across our border without anybody stopping them. 10.5 to 12 million illegals, and that equals between 3 and 3.6% of America's population. Okay, now in the next slide, 57, it only takes 3.5% of the population, which we are at now, to overthrow a dictator, and or you know, with civil resistance, nonviolent protests, all kinds of ways. But 3.5% of the population organized to bring down the government of a country is all it takes, and they are here now. And this is a figure from a number of intelligence sites, as well as just general information for the public. So if you look it up, you can click on that text and look it up. Let me just see where it goes. Yeah. And this is on the Guardian website, but I found it in a number of other places. You can read that about the problem we've got at the moment, and we are at the danger point of being overthrown. You know, our government is. Fascinating stuff.
To me, this is not about votes, Democrat votes. This is about exactly that. You're bringing in people to replace the white Caucasian, the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, whatever, the white Caucasian male and female, the family, It to me, this is an act of war. It's an act of treason by Biden, Mayorkas, and the rhinos on the right, the idiots on the left. What are we going to do about this? I mean, seriously, what are we going to do about this?
There's going to be a moment, Doug, we know that, when somebody or some group of somebodies are going to take arms against our fellow Americans to try to rectify the situation. I mean, if you sit in your room quietly and think about it, it's going to make you so mad you want to throttle somebody. And you can understand why there are going to be people that are better equipped to do that that might just do that. And that's then going to, of course, probably trigger martial law and further chaos and civil war. But I had to go replace parts of the porcelain on two of my caps in my teeth just from gritting my teeth watching this crap.
Well, that explains why Eric the Tech was trying to throttle the bobblehead that he's got on his desk when I came in today. Yeah,
I laugh, but this is sad. This is sad.
I don't know. Can I say this? Look, I'm okay with. We cannot do nothing, and I'm okay with fighting these people who come in to take over our country and those who facilitate this whole process. Yesterday, I played a clip where San Antonio police were working for time and a half in uniform to facilitate this invasion. And brother, we can't have this. I mean, we're going to have to kill these people. I mean, deport them or kill them if they become feral, which I think half of them are. You're bringing in multiple diseases. And I'm speaking frankly here. They're bringing in leprosy, for crying out loud, and every third world disease you can think of. We cannot allow this. And the politicians are allowing them to stay in the Roosevelt Hotel in New York City for 7 months and get fed three times a day while kicking out the veterans, kicking out Americans.
You got to wonder how you're going to be able to recognize true military people of our country and true police organizations, because they can buy these uniforms and costumes and outfit an army to look like us. So you think, oh, this is friendlies coming up here. And so you let them come right up to your doorstep, and it's too late then. So it's a real problem.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Look, everybody's going to have to, choose the moment what they're going to do. But, Bible makes it quite clear that a man should have a sword to protect his house and to his family. So that doesn't mean you march on the Capitol, but it means you defend yourself against those who invade your property.
And I ask, now do the Soros DAs, now does this make sense? Why Soros put so much money behind DA races to prosecute the homeowner that protects his home, protects his family? It sure does make sense. Go ahead, sir.
Well, Doug, I hope the good Lord comes for us fairly soon, because we're just...
I'm ready.
Yeah, definitely. It's bigger than us, and we're going to be faced down to a household level, being ready to be shot or killed or incarcerated or whatever. And you and I and all like us who are aware of the problem are targeted for, economic, pain for arrest, for charges. And I look at President Trump, I thought, goodness gracious, how does that man not just fall apart? I mean, you can only take so much, and yet he keeps smiling. He keeps going like the ever ready bunny at these lectures, which is great. But, what a challenge it must be for him. So if he can do it, we can do it. That's what I'm saying. We'll stand with him.
I'm constantly amazed. I mean, I'm not allowed to say certain things, but I kind of know when you spend a half a decade fighting lawfare and spend, you know, well over 100,000, 100-some-odd thousand plus fighting in that realm, in that venue, or those venues, you get a taste of what President Trump is going through, although he's at a higher, much higher level. I'm not trying to compare myself. I'm just saying that, you know, on a lower ratio, lower level, I get that. And there are days you wake up and you just say, why? You know, I just don't want to do this anymore. And yeah. So I admire the man in that respect. Folks, another person I admire, Stan Deo, and I don't say this lightly. I say this with all due respect. All of the true truth tellers in the media are being just inundated with attacks of various kinds. So I urge you, folks listening to this, to support Stan Deo, become a member of his Patreon. Please support him. Whether it's you're purchasing his intellectual products, the DVDs, the books, whatever, or just flat out monetary support, I urge you to support him because he's deserving of our support. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. on our Show Images page, this is something that is kind of a personal thing with me. It's not so much, you know, doom and gloom, but telling you what I did back in 1989, I believe it was. During Yitzhak Rabin's rule there as prime minister in Israel. I was touring the country for about a month, working down in the Qumran, in the caves, and in particular in Bindle Jones, you know, Indy Jones, they modeled that movie after him, in the cave that he had at the Wadi Hakipa, where he uncovered a bunch of religious artifacts, ceremonial things, and part of the incense needed to operate the new temple. And I was there, and I also came to share some details of research that I'd been doing in underwater propulsion for submarines and for torpedoes, fast and accurate methods. So I was sharing that with the Israeli Navy. And the way to do it was I was taken up to a kibbutz, which was a kibbutz that Yitzhak Rabin himself had founded, and on the odd occasion could be found there washing his share of the dishes. He was a very humble man. And anyway, his kibbutz is located on the north part of Israel, right on the border to Lebanon. And it's so on the border that his kibbutz, if you go to the quarters where you can stay, you're like bed and breakfast or whatever, you're looking over a thing. Look at slide 47, Eric, in my Show Images page, and I'll tell you that you're looking at the kibbutz. There you go. And to scroll down a bit to the second view of that thing, scroll down further. Okay, there you go. You can see how steep this is. Right down on the left side is Lebanon. And up here on the top, right close to that, were the sleeping quarters. Now, I met with the Navy guy there and gave him his information to take with him. And, of course, believe it or not, he said, I must tell you, this meeting never took place. And then he left in the night. But sleeping that night, it was comfortable, wonderful. I got up the next morning feeling great and was informed that down in the left there in right there close to the border, a war between Christians and Muslims had occurred, and several hundred people have been shot to death while I slept peacefully up the side of this hill. And it just humbles me when I sit there and think about that. You know, these people live with that all the time. And now that we've got missiles from Hezbollah coming into Israel, I think one of them actually landed right in this this kibbutz, or very close to it, in the last 3 weeks. If you click on slide 46 on the map there, you can see something right in the middle of it called Manara. And it's a ridge, dark green ridge. You know, it shows you the elevation of it by color. And right in the middle of that is where that kibbutz was. And as I say, it humbled me to realize that people died while I slept, you know, like a baby, just a few hundred feet away. and I never even heard a thing.
Oh, Lord. Wow.
If you go to slide 48 in the picture, you can see if you're on the edge of that, what down in the cloudy mist there over the edge is where Lebanon is. And these are the olive groves and various things that they were growing, the kibbutz there. There you go.
Wow.
There's a lady laying down to keep her head from being shot at, I guess. But anyway, yeah. So just sharing that, it was 1989, and exciting times even then. I got a feel for
nothing's for changed, though, right?
No, it's gotten worse, obviously, with thousands of people being killed now on both sides. Now, I tell you, this is going to come to a resolution. There is going to be a Palestinian state, but Mohammed bin Salman, with the help of Israel, and believe it or not, Iran, Mohammed bin Salman is going to say, let's stop all the fighting. Let's kick Hamas out of the Gaza Strip because they're the problem. And let's appoint a civil Palestinian government. And let's put observers into their country, there into Gaza, which will become a Palestinian state. Let's put observers in there to be sure that they do what they're supposed to and don't elect any more terrorists. And terrorism doesn't take over the Gaza Strip again. And to do that, we will give $1 billion, maybe more, maybe $2 billion, whatever it takes, to rebuild Gaza after all this war and damage. And we will give them a business plan with specific goals to reach, forming a government, doing waterworks and security, communications, all that. And as they meet these goals, they will progress along this business plan to where they will be accepted into a peace agreement with the Arab nations and with Israel. And that'll be, they'll be joining the Abraham Accords. Now, Mohammed bin Salman and Jared Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law, are bosom buddies. They call them the princelings in the press, and it's a bromance of the princes. And between them, they have been setting up a pathway for peace in the Middle East. Now, this can only be done by someone who is familiar with the infighting, the territorial problems of the various 40 nations they're dealing with there in the Middle East. Mohammed bin Salman is familiar with, and now Jared Kushner is, because he's been going around visiting them with the permission of their heads of state and with the help of Mohammed bin Salman. So they are on a path that they planned some time back. And if you click on slide 52 on the picture, on the text, it'll take you to about hour and a half type podcast that Jared Kushner was interviewed on. And you will see how bright, how well-educated in the Middle Eastern area of politics that he is. He's brilliant. He really is. And certainly he'd make a good antichrist or false prophet or whatever because he's so brilliant. And between him and the money that Mohammed bin Salman has to throw into this new world order over in the Middle East, they're going to do it. Mohammed bin Salman has given $2 billion with a B, dollars to a foundation that Kushner set up to go and fund new businesses in Israel and eventually into Gaza. And Jared Kushner had another $1 billion himself from other sources in his fund. And then Mohammed bin Salman has access to another $300 billion in the public fund of Saudi Arabia. These two guys are following a path, and just watch for it. They're going to be putting business plans into place into all the nations that they get to join the Abraham Accords peace agreement. And they're going to do this. And Mohammed bin Salman, Saudi Arabia and Iran, they're still going to have their go at Israel. Iran by proxy is doing so now. And this may be, Salmanite war or whatever, it may get to even more shooting at Israel from Saudi Arabia and Iran. I doubt it. But if it does happen, you'll see that Damascus will be nuked and destroyed because it holds 10 sites that we know of that store nuclear missiles for Iran there in Syria. Anyway, this is all according to a plan. And the plan will be to bring peace to the Middle East after there's this conflict. And if someone using the nuke, whether it's the United States and the Mediterranean force or whether it's Israel, to stop the launching of nuclear missiles from Damascus, whoever does it, this is going to demand a peace treaty in the Middle East, barring the use or banning the use of nuclear weapons and putting some teeth to this agreement. And that will, what their objective is to unify all the Arab nations against Israel, really, but into a peaceful agreement with Israel.
Do you think Trump could do that? I mean,
no.
Let me rephrase that. Do you think that in a Trump administration that could be done under his watch? Go ahead.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That's what I meant.
He knows his limitations. He's a very smart man, and I support him in what he's doing. His son-in-law, Jared Kushner, is the bright spark who is well-educated in the affairs of the Middle East, and Kushner's wife, which is Ivanka Trump, encouraged President Trump to move the embassy into Jerusalem. That was their initiative there. These are all parts of a long-term plan. And Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia already is the founder and a principal supporter of an anti-terrorist league of 40 Arab nations there in the Middle East. And these 40 Arab nations have joined into a militaristic anti-terrorism coalition. They have arms, they have a board of directors, they have leaders and generals trained. And what you don't read in the fine print is what they define as a terrorist. It's not what we define. The terrorists they are looking at are United States and Israel, Satan and little Satan. So this has come to pass while we all slept over here. Well, most of us, I knew it was coming, but anyway. And this is going to come to the forefront here in a lot of the military actions that take place in the Middle East soon. So these things are all pieces that are falling into place that fit biblical prophecy about the end times and about the tribulation period or the lead up to it, everyone will look at it. We are at the doorstep of a 7-year tribulation demanding institution of a 7-year peace treaty between Israel and the surrounding Arab nations. Now, whoever signs that, one of them is going to be a prince, whether it's the princeling Kushner or the real prince Mohammed bin Salman. Daniel does say that the man of sin will be a signature to the covenant between Israel and the surrounding nations. And this is happening now. So I think Kushner and Mohammed bin Salman will both sign that agreement in some place on the document. When that happens, I don't want to be here. I hope the Lord takes all the Christian folks out of here before that time. But if we're here, and the great deception that has been in play for probably 40, 50 years will happen when they have a landing, official landing of alien space brothers, that kind of nonsense, to unify the planet. And we all know that warring factions, whether it be brothers and sisters at home or whether it be nations of the world, when you are threatened with a greater evil and the thought of a great punishment or destruction by something you can't defeat, then you suddenly become buddies with your enemies and you all gather together and form this coalition. And this is what is being planned and starting to play out now, is to form a world government because the people of Earth will demand this and demand someone to lead it and with teeth, with weapons that can enforce the laws he makes. And this is going to be from these so-called alien space brothers. And these are fallen ones, with Satan. They've been here for several thousand years, a couple thousand anyway. And it's coming to a head now. So I hope we're not here to see that, to have to avoid joining the New World Order, and having, a number and that kind of stuff to keep our house and to earn money. I am certainly praying that we're going to be taken out by the good Lord before that time. So whenever it is, there's just so much happening out there. Wow.
Yeah, there is. Wow. That's heavy to think about. But we know how this ends. And our hope and trust, of course, lies in God and his son, Jesus Christ. And I believe that. I believe that we're all here for a reason. And when our job is done, we get called home. And hopefully we're not here to see the what you're talking about.
Well, if we read prophecy correctly, what's going to happen is that the church is going to be raptured up, and their bodies are going to be changed into immortal bodies.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, if we're lucky enough to be or fortunate enough to be in that group, we're going to be retrained into warrior status, learn how to use all kinds of new weaponry against Satan, because Jesus and the army of believers that are with him will descend at the end of the 7-year period to the Battle of Armageddon against Satan and his minions and lock them up and destroy what they have placed on the earth.
Kick some satanic ass. That's
well, hey, look, happen. You know, if we had the support and the weapons, I'd be in there right now.
Yeah, you know, me too.
You know, but who's going to take a knife to a gunfight or a gun to an atom bomb fight? You know, we need to have better weapons and the support of a general who knows what he's doing, and that's, of course, Jesus. So,
amen. Yeah, no, yeah. You're 100% accurate on that. And don't lose hope, folks. I mean, because, again, it's written in prophecy. We know that we are victorious in the end. When I say we, I'm talking about the followers of Jesus. And yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, sir.
On a thing here with the sun and earthquakes, there was a big earthquake on January the 1st that hit Japan. I think it was about 7.6 just off the shore. And it raised this part of the island there. You can see it in slide 41. It raised it 800 feet. And you can click on the link and read the article. But I did find that on the 31st of December, going into, of course, 1 January, that the sun threw off a horrific coronal mass ejection. Now, it was a sideways glancing thing, but the magnetic field of it could have triggered that earthquake or other earthquakes that were lesser magnitude. Now, there's a study in slide 40. If you click on the text, it'll take you to the study that says powerful eruptions on the sun might trigger earthquakes. You know, this is new stuff, even though the article's from 2020, there's gaining a lot of momentum. And apparently the magnetic fields of the sun that are caused to rupture, they throw out a magnetic wave down to the earth through a portal loop or a tunnel that connects the sun's magnetic field to the earth's magnetic field in various places, various times. And when this happens at the right moment, it can cause piezoelectric charge generation in fault lines that are ready to erupt and cause a massive earthquake. So read that article and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's the solar activity is important as far as earthquakes, and I'm sure it probably affects in the long term magma flows and volcanoes. Now, looking at slide, what are we looking at here? Let's see, this one here, is it? Yeah, look at slide 39. Okay. And you'll see there that if you click the text, it'll take you over to spaceweather.com for the, what day is it here? January the 1st, when that big earthquake occurred. And you'll see, you can click, or you don't have to click, you can just go down underneath that one to the red version of that, and you can see that eruption occurring as the sun is turning toward the earth. And on the 1st is when that earthquake occurred, and this is what we were watching for the first. So it does tell you that there is this link between magnetism on the sun and, you know, and magnetic fields on the earth. Slide 38.
But by the way, that's an interesting correlation there that you brought up. Pay attention to that. And again, standale.com, show images page, follow that too with what he brought up there. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Slide 37 is a thing I put up every week. It's a picture of 2/3 of the sun's surface And in the middle is what's facing us, and to the left and right is to the left is what's coming, to the right is what's past. The white spots are the active sunspot regions. And so I look at this to see from the left one what we've got for the next 7 days. And you'll see that we've got a couple of bright spots coming. I don't know that they're going to be as big as what's just passed over on the lower right, but they will move toward the center of this graph facing us over the next 7 days. Portions of the sun move faster than others. At the equator, it's faster, but the average is 28 days for a full rotation of the sun. So that's something you can check from time to time.
And that's, folks, that's where EMP shields come in to help save your electronic equipment, your circuitry in your house, so your house doesn't start on fire like the Carrington event back in, what was it, 1859, 79, yep, whatever it was. So empshield.com/ or code Hagman for $50 off. But really, prepare yourself for that. Go ahead, sir.
That covers those things there. Another interesting thing is in slide 42. It's showing two huge galaxies colliding, merging. When I was back in Dallas, back in late 60s, I met with one of the, a man that used to be a student in the university under Dr. Einstein. And he was telling me about how Dr. Einstein looked at these galaxies, and he says, some galaxies are carnivorous, he would say. They eat each other. And if you think about it, now there's a lot of stars in that, and a lot of dust in a galaxy that you can see in that picture. And when these two pass through each other, there's going to be the odd sun or star in there that will, and its planets that will collide with some other one in the other galaxy that they're passing through each other. But they're semi-porous, if you wish. But they will eventually merge into one super galaxy, or they will annihilate each other. Now, the fact that they're coming together like this means that they're spinning in same direction, so that the space between them is pulling them together. And I read elsewhere in my astronomy stuff this week that there is a galaxy that they've photographed that has no stars. Now, get this. It's a swirling gas mass with no stars, just a bunch of hydrogen gas. A rainbow type picture is really a nice picture of it, but it was a galaxy, yet it had no stars. And that's amazing. And along with that, I looked in slide 49 at what's called the Big Ring. Now, this thing is a phenomenon that they have filmed, and it's a huge structure. It's traveling at the speed of light. It's 9 billion with a B miles away, the speed of light. The thing itself is, if I'm going down to the article, is, let's see, it's above the 1.2 billion light year diameter of big objects that they say can exist under our current understanding of how the universe works. This particular ring, down about the second paragraph under that picture, says, the Big Ring spans an astounding 1.3 billion light years in diameter, which is a substantial fraction of the observable universe estimated diameter of 94 billion light years. Now, the sun, you probably think that we have the sun and we have the planets and the Kuiper belt, and that's the solar system. But the space around our sun that is part of the sun is called the heliosphere. And if you were to go across this heliosphere from, you know, this side to that side at the speed of light, it would take you 1 year to traverse the distance, you know, our sun encapsulates. That's one light year, okay? And this thing is 1.3 billion light years in diameter. So that gives you an idea of the size of this thing relative to our sun. It's just an incredible thing. There's another thing called an arc. And if you go back to the picture of slide 45 and click on that, I'll show you. They're showing the the stellar map for where this big ring is. It's the blue dots. If you click on that, yeah. And then this huge arc, which is almost as big, if not bigger, if you could measure the length of this arc of stars or whatever it is out here. It's kind of a glowing arc, in essence. And down within it can be stellar systems, you know, galaxies and whatever. So the universe, according to this, doesn't work like we thought it did entirely. Surprise, surprise.
So what's the bottom line takeaway from that? I mean, okay, the universe doesn't work the way we think it does. Can you, pardon the expression, dumb it down for somebody like me? What's your takeaway from that?
Well, the Big Bang didn't occur like we thought. And it might have been a double Big Bang, a boom like that, in a, you know, millions of a second or whatever. It may have been something else. But these mega structures don't fit the Einsteinian model of space-time exactly. They're close. But until modern physics adopts a fluid model for space, giving space a designation of a fluid made of very, 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 very fine particles, until they do that, our model for the universe will not work correctly in all cases. These kind of structures, this big ring, the big arc, those kind of things, can form in something like that. But it does suggest, however, when they do, there might be an intelligence behind forming it. Just a thought.
Okay. Wow. Wow. We only have a few minutes left, and I don't want to...
All right. I was just trying to think what else. There's something else I wanted to say here, and do you think I can remember what it was? In the universe discussions, remember how Bible says, you know, the New Testament, pray for your enemies, for in doing so you pour hot coals on their head?
Yes.
Okay. That is opposite of what you would be tempted to do. Somebody hits you with a hammer, you want to hit them back. But no, it says you forgive them and pray for them. This is from an ancient thing that was in China and the Middle East and India and Asia. It was yin-yang. And if you look at the yin-yang symbol, it's a white drop going this way and a dark drop going this way, so that there's a balance of good and evil, light and dark in the universe, and that law permeates everything. I've been learning more and more about that, and not to be some kind of a guru or that kind of junk, but looking at how things do work together. So in essence, if you push your hand through water this way, going in the opposite direction will be the reverse wave, you know, your wake, if you wish, as you go like this. And so in all things, then, if you push, there's an anti-push. It's inertia. And this forms planets. It forms galaxies and big rings, I guess, and big arcs and things, all on fluid mechanisms. So with supercomputers now, we should be able to model these things to show what happens to create a planet, just a simple planet around a star. And I'll tell you this, the fluid motion is the secret to it all. If you spin a glass of water fast with, say, pepper and salt, how many minutes have I got left?
About two. Go ahead.
Okay. If you do that, I've made videos of it. I've got it somewhere on my website. I'll have to find it for you. But this spinning fluid, when you let the water with all that salt and, with this white sand and black pepper, when you stop stirring it, it will slow down and it will form a pyramid or like a cone shape at the bottom of all these particles. The heavier ones depositing first and then the lighter ones next. And believe it or not, this is because of curl, of yin-yang, of the spin of the water in that containment. And our gravity that we have on the planet is not one-directional. It is bi-directional, push-pull, push-pull, with a spin. And when it does that in the fluid of space, which you can't see, it makes discrete orbital rings where the balance of the incoming reflection of energy from space, from your spin, and that reflected from the center of the planet goes together, they form a null zone or several null zones, and those are perfect orbits.
Wow.
Anyway, sorry, that's your
opinion. You know, thinking about that, it makes sense. I like that. Definitely keep pursuing your research investigation and share your findings about that. That's
yeah, I'll have to give some illustrations to show that.
I'd like to see that. Wow. Well, I do want to say, make sure you don't put your coffee cup on President Trump's end table there. He gets a little bit upset. Go ahead.
Yes, I know. I've only had the room for a few minutes. I've got to go now.
God bless you, my friend. Thank you,
God Stan. God bless you.
Stan Dale.
Bye-bye.
StanDale.com. All right, folks. Have a good day.